This is The Guardian. I'm Noor Haider, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story. Two weeks ago, on the 5th of May, the World Health Organization received its first alert regarding an unknown illness with a high fatality rate reported in Ituri province in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. 10 days later, lab analysis confirmed a rare strain of the Ebola virus.
Currently, I'm on panic mode because people are dying. I don't have medicines, I don't have vaccine to support countries.
The World Health Organization has now declared the outbreak a public health emergency of international concern.
We, alongside humanitarian partners, are supporting the government-led Ebola response. WHO is supporting national efforts through, among other things, the deployment of technical expertise and rapid response teams. You will have seen that yesterday, the World Health Organization said that the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Uganda constitutes a public health emergency of international concern, highlighting the high risk of further spread and the likelihood that the outbreak may be larger than currently detected.
More than 100 deaths have been reported, and there are at least 300 suspected cases, including in neighbouring Uganda. But authorities say the true number of people infected is unknown.
Ebola has so many strains. Fortunately, we have medicines and vaccines for the Zaire strain. But the second one, the Sudan strain and the Bujumbura we are talking about, we don't have vaccine, we don't have medicine.
The WHO's Ebola declaration came as more than 100 passengers continue to be monitored after a hantavirus outbreak on a cruise ship.
These two are just the latest crisis in our troubled world, from conflicts to economic crisis to climate change and aid cuts. We live in difficult and dangerous and divisive times.
Today, Guardian Australia's medical editor Melissa Davey on the latest outbreaks and can the world avert another pandemic? It's Wednesday, the 20th of May.
Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
Melissa, welcome back to Full Story.
Thanks for having me.
This week, the World Health Organization declared an outbreak of Ebola in parts of Central Africa as a public health emergency of international concern. How bad is this outbreak? Why is it causing such concern?
What's concerning about it is that the first person who was infected in this outbreak, who was a nurse, was not diagnosed immediately. So he developed symptoms on April 24 in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and then he sadly died. But health authorities didn't become alerted to an outbreak until the 5th of May, by which time 50 people had died. This particular strain of Ebola, Bundibugyo, is very rare. So there's no vaccine for it. There is an existing vaccine for Ebola, but it doesn't work on this particular strain. And so that means it can also be quite slow to diagnose. The symptoms don't really look much different from other strains of Ebola, and the rapid diagnostic test that exists for existing strains of Ebola don't necessarily detect it. So you have to do a blood test to diagnose it. It's kind of the gold standard. That's really tricky because of how infectious this is. So you need to be really careful when testing people for this strain. The other concerning element is that there are existing treatments for Ebola called monoclonal antibody therapies, and they kind of neutralize the virus and stop it from entering healthy cells, but they also don't work on this strain. So all of this combined with the poor health resources in the affected area has seen more than 80 people die so far. And there are also cases where it's unclear where the person caught it, how they caught it. That makes measures like isolating people and preventing further spread really quite tricky.
Okay, Mel, why is the WHO treating it as a global health emergency? What does that declaration mean? What does it trigger?
Yes, so earlier this week, the WHO declared the outbreak of Ebola caused by this particular strain as a public health emergency of international concern. And I guess the primary trigger for that is that the virus has crossed borders now and the outbreak is quite unprecedented and unexpected. So that means it requires quite a strong coordinated action by many other countries to try and get on top of it. The WHO has not described it as a pandemic, which is where we see worldwide spread, but it is spreading in the Democratic Republic of Congo and also in Uganda. And authorities believe that the outbreak is likely larger than we currently understand. And it also has quite a high fatality rate. So between 25 and 40% fatality rate, it's an infectious disease. And so it's really important now to have this coordinated response.
Melissa, as you've mentioned, this is moving quite rapidly and developing quite rapidly. What does a declaration mean for other countries like Australia? I know the United States has already moved to implement some border controls. What does it mean for other nations?
So for other nations like Australia, it's really about providing the resources, knowledge and funding to help a country like the DRC get on top of it. We have to remember that Africa has knowledge about outbreaks like this. They've been through it before. They do have really clever people there working on it and responding to it, but the infrastructure isn't there. The support to roll out what's needed there might be weakened due to conflict, for example. So testing facilities are really essential at the moment. So Australia has a role in making sure that we help provide those resources, any extra health knowledge and support. Some of our health officials are working on the response. And we really need to be careful as well about not overreacting and closing borders, for example, ahead of it being really necessary. So in the first instance, it's about supporting people on the ground in the countries that are affected and making sure that they can use their own knowledge and infrastructure to get on top of it. And anything that's lacking, we help provide that additional support.
Mel, you mentioned that it took several weeks before an outbreak was detected. There are various strains of Ebola. What do we know about this particular strain?
So like we discussed, we know that for this particular strain, there are no vaccines or monoclonal antibody treatments. It has a lower fatality rate than other strains of Ebola, but it's still very nasty. And one of the things for any strain of Ebola that is tricky is that they look like other viruses. So symptoms like fever and headache and muscle pain, weakness, all of those things we associate with a whole range of illnesses, right? But it's in the later stages that it can cause internal bleeding, bruising, hemorrhaging, and it's spread through direct contact with bodily fluids like blood, sweat, and saliva. So it's not airborne, but it is infectious and people can be infected by handling or eating infected animals as well. It's endemic. It just means that it's found in the tropical rainforests of Central Africa where there are natural reservoirs of the virus. So there's always a risk there of an outbreak. Because it is quite a nasty infectious virus with a high fatality rate, it's important that we start to work on vaccines for it and also in the first instance really get on top of isolating people, providing supportive treatment and preventing spread.
The Director General of the Africa Centre for Disease Control and Prevention has been ringing the alarm about the lack of available medicines. If there is no vaccine, how are people being treated?
At the moment, people need to be isolated to stop further spread. That's key, the contact tracing part. And anyone who's been exposed, also isolating them. And then for people who have been infected, all you can really do is support their body to fight the virus. So that means providing them with intravenous fluids, maintaining their electrolytes, making sure they have adequate nutrition, and then treating any other infections they have that are treatable and that might be weakening their immune system. So basically all you can do is anything possible to help boost the patient's immune system to fight the virus, because we just don't have any treatments that directly target the virus itself.
Many people will recall the disturbing images back from 2014 during a large Ebola outbreak in West Africa, the largest outbreak of Ebola. More than 28,000 people were infected, 11,000 people died. How concerned are health authorities that this outbreak could spiral into a repeat of what happened a decade ago?
Yes, there have been numerous outbreaks of different strains of Ebola at different points of time. And the one you're referring to was caused by a different strain, the SAR strain. And it was, as you said, the largest outbreak of Ebola to date. But that strain is also more lethal. So it has an up to 90% fatality rate. And of course, there is now a vaccine for it. There are treatments for that strain. And when that outbreak began, it really took hold and killed more than 11,000 people. There were cases in West Africa initially, but it also spread to 7 other countries, and it wasn't declared over until 2016. But I think it is important to remember that these are different strains. Yes, the Zaire strain, it has a higher fatality rate, but there are unknowns about this particular strain we're dealing with now, and the lack of vaccines and treatment is concerning, as is the weakened health infrastructure at the areas where it's starting to take hold.
Mm. You mentioned that weaker health infrastructure in this particular region of the DRC. There has been war. There is ongoing conflict. What are wealthier Western countries doing to help, or what should they be doing to help?
As we mentioned before, just making sure that we are sending in the support for testing. That could be providing the equipment and the tools, but it could also be providing the knowledge, the humanitarian workers and the healthcare workers as well. The challenge is that this outbreak began in what's a very busy mining area of the DRC. So people travel in and out of it for work all the time. Those workers became infected. They traveled home and the infection spread. So you have a very mobile working population coming into and out of areas with weak healthcare infrastructure, and then violence by armed groups. And that all complicates detection and containment. And it also can make it unsafe to send healthcare workers in it as well. At the moment, I think countries like Australia will be getting their health authorities to understand some of the difficulties of getting in and out of those areas and trying to understand how to set up testing clinics, for example, trying to understand what supportive care is needed and providing the funding and resources to put all of that in place.
Melissa, has the COVID pandemic improved our global responses to these kinds of deadly viruses? Are we better prepared and equipped to get on top of them quickly, do you think?
Yeah, for sure. There has been enormous learnings from not just the COVID pandemic, but as we've spoken about, there have been previous Ebola pandemics, even before COVID was a pandemic, that really assisted with our understanding of Ebola. Things like local testing were introduced. We've learned more about how to respond to and contain outbreaks of viruses. And many countries affected, including African countries, really strengthened their vaccine rollouts. But sadly, as we spoke about before, the vaccine for Ebola doesn't work on this strain. So we are better prepared. But as we have seen, unfortunately, conflict and global instability can really undermine some of that really good work that's been done, right? And it can lead to delays in diagnosis. It can decimate health infrastructure. So it's about really now providing that support to those countries affected by conflict and helping them to catch up, while also respecting that they do have a lot of really good local knowledge. There are some great health workers there on the ground that are willing and able to go in and respond. There are just challenges in the environment right now that make it hard for them to do so.
We'll be right back. This isn't the only virus that is in the headlines at the moment. People will have seen and heard about the hantavirus outbreak aboard a cruise ship. And the Director General of the WHO this week said that these two viruses are just the latest crises in our troubled world. What do we know about how hantavirus is being managed at the moment?
Yes, so hantavirus is also not new. It's a group of viruses found in different parts of the world. but it's mostly associated with rodents. And of course, this was all triggered by an outbreak on a cruise ship that left Argentina. It docked in Spain following an outbreak on the ship. And it's a different virus to Ebola. It spreads differently to Ebola. So those affected become sick after breathing in kind of contaminated particles. Although hantavirus infection is serious, like Ebola, there's no antiviral treatment. However, the likelihood of it causing a really widespread outbreak is low. There are no confirmed cases in Australia linked to the current outbreak in the cruise ship, and Australian travellers that were on that ship are now quarantining in WA. So it comes down to, again, contact tracing, isolating and quarantining those people who might be affected, and then providing that supportive care and treatment as well, given there really are no antiviral treatments for hantavirus.
Mel, for many people, COVID will still be fresh in their minds, although maybe relegated to the back of their memories. Should people be concerned, worried about these two viruses?
I think it depends on where you live. Obviously, it's a very concerning thing for the people in Uganda and DRC, but we do need to remember that these are different viruses. They do spread differently. I think it's important to be aware and across the response, but there's no need for global panic.
Melissa, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
That was Guardian Australia's medical editor, Melissa Davey. You can find more on the Ebola outbreak, including reporting from the DRC, on theguardian.com. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Lou Hill, who also did the sound design and mix. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget you can follow or subscribe to Full Story wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.